Ephesians chapter number 4, and I'm just going to read one verse tonight for the sake of time, and then we'll be reading a bunch of verses as we go through the study tonight. This is going to be something that when I preach on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, until I get it covered, I'm going to go through this. While I'm thinking about it, I know that we're probably already started the tape, and that's okay, but I want to share something with you. I asked Brother Keith, he told me this in speech or in a phone conversation, and I asked him to send it to me. And this is the test that they give their Bible college students overseas, they're training preachers in Africa. And anyway, this is the test that they give them. And I want you to think about these questions. There's only 10 of them. And I want you to ask yourself the question tonight, how would I do if I were taking this test? It says, give the testimony of your personal salvation. And then, how did sin first enter into the human race? And then describe the consequences of sin. And then, what is the only remedy for sin? Then man is a trinity. Explain man's three parts. Salvation is always by grace. Explain grace. What is one of the Old Testament types of salvation? Define faith when it comes to salvation. And then I like this one. He said, explain the difference between justification and sanctification. And then he said, Brother Ralph, this one was just for you after this morning. Explain security of salvation. That's the 10 questions that Brother Keith gives those men when they graduate the Bible college over there. Of course, you can take that, and there's going to be a lot of writing on some of those, amen, to explain it. And I just wonder how the church would do, and if we had to take that test, amen. And one of the things that's in my heart is to approach biblical doctrine. And I think it's, let me just say this to you. I was sitting this afternoon and I was reading and I was praying and I was studying. And it just seemed like, of course I got a lot on my heart right now, but it just seemed like somebody came in and took a bucket of water, Brother Chris, and just poured it all over what I had planned on doing tonight. And I said, Lord, I bowed my head. I said, Lord, I said, if this ain't the way you want me to go, I said, I'll listen to you, Lord. Well, then I opened the devotion. I said, Lord, I'll just go ahead and do the devotion for tomorrow. And I ain't got to it yet, Brother Adam, wherever you are. But anyway, this is what the devotion was. I'm not going to read it all. The title of it is The Solid Christian in Shaky Times. And the key verse was this. Remember, I already told you this morning what I planned on starting. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, okay. And I just proceeded, and it just seemed like the Lord began to build a little fire under what I'm going to share with you tonight. The Word of God said there, I'll read the verse again, that we henceforth be no more children, Ephesians 4:14, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here. I pray, God, that you'd help me tonight. I want to be a blessing, God, to my people tonight. And Lord, I believe that Bible doctrine is very, very important. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight as we try to introduce the series. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing. Lord, peradventure somebody here don't know you. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to their heart and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to start out tonight with some Old Testament Hebrew words and what they mean. There's the word leka. I'm not trying to impress you tonight. I can just look up things and study. It means what is revealed, the matter or the message being taught. Then there's the word semua, which means what is heard. Then there's the word musar. This is all Old Testament meaning discipline. And in the New Testament, there's a word, this would be in the Greek, didarkaleia. And it means the art of teaching, what is taught. And then didik, it means teaching, the act of teaching. I want to remind you something tonight. The pastor is called upon not just to preach the Word of God, but to teach the Word of God. That's difficult for me. I'll be honest, amen. I may not make it through this message without preaching, amen. But it is needful, amen. Our Lord was a preacher, but He was also a teacher. Paul was a preacher, but he was also a teacher, amen. One that taught the Word of God. When I looked up Webster's 1828, the word doctrine, it comes from the Latin word to teach. In a general sense, whatever is taught, hence a principle or position in any science, whatever is laid down is true by an instructor or master. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles or truths taught by Christ and His apostles. The doctrines of Plato are the principles which he taught. Hence a doctrine may be true or false. Certainly you've heard the term tonight, false doctrine, right? And then I'll get into this later. You've heard the term sound doctrine. How do you tell the difference between false doctrine and sound doctrine? This old book, amen? Amen. This old book we call the Bible. Doctrine, the act of teaching. He taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his doctrine. That's in Mark chapter 4 and verse 2. Learning, knowledge. Whom shall he make to understand? Doctrine. That's in Isaiah 28 and verse number 9. Now I want you to turn with me in your Bibles, because this is important, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. As we begin a study on biblical doctrine. The Word of God over in 2 Corinthians, I believe that's 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, I believe I messed that up. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, it is. But the Bible said in verse number 9, I'm going to read it in its context, but as written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. Many people quit right there. They quote that one verse and quit right there. But, look at verse 10. They're revealed, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I'm going to say this tonight. You can forget about understanding Bible doctrine apart from the author of the book. Amen. Which is the blessed Holy Spirit. You remember? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's going to be one of the doctrines we're going to get into later on in the series. But God hath revealed to them. Now, what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. This is why I feel really sorry for people that are trying to figure out the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. He'd be a mighty little God if you or I, either one, could figure Him out. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, notice what the Bible said. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Surely, if you went over in that definition, Brother Keith's test of grace, you'd have to say that's God's, amen, riches at Christ's expense. God made me rich through His poverty, that through His poverty we might be made rich. Amen. I didn't pay for salvation. Jesus did. It was a gift to me. Let's go on. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. We'll get into that a little bit tonight. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever been reading your Bible or studying your Bible, and it appeared that there was a contradiction? I'm going to take my time. It might take me 3 weeks to get through the first lesson. Amen? But have you ever just said, well, it appears that there's a contradiction there? Some people, that's the only reason they read the Bible, Brother Jason, is try to find a contradiction somewhere. Try to disprove it. I'm going to tell you something. They're wasting their time. Amen? It's a perfect book. They're wasting their time. Amen? I remember one time, and this is really, really special to me, because I remember where I was. I was in the office at Liberty Baptist Church, and I was studying on a series, When My Heart Is Overwhelmed. And four times in the book of Psalms, God said, when my heart or when my spirit is overwhelmed within me. And the series of messages, Brother Chris, were based on those four times. Well, I got over to Psalm 142, and David there is hiding in a cave. Saul is hunting him like a dog. David is hiding in the cave, and you come down there, and he says this, refuge failed me. He said, I looked on my right hand, and no man cared for my soul. Now, wait a minute. Nothing wrong with that. He's in a cave. He's alone. And he says, refuge failed me. But listen to the next verse. Thou art my refuge. Can anybody see the problem? How many can stand up tonight and say, God's failed me? Not one of us. And so I knew instantly there was not a problem with the Bible. Thank God I settled that a long time ago. But the problem was with my understanding of the Word of God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So I think I got this right. If I'm backwards, it'll be one way or the other. I got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. But when I looked up in the lexicon, so to speak, in the Hebrew, the first word refuge come from a word called makasi. And the second one come from a word called manasi. The first word refuge, when David said, refuge failed me, what he was saying is, there's no way out of fleeing. There's no way. Here I am. I'm in this cave, and there's no way out. And that second word, refuge, Brother Chris, I'll catch you down there at the red light in a minute. Amen. That second word, refuge, said this. This is what it meant. It meant a hiding place, a covert in the storms. Amen. I remember sailing with a boy when I was 10 years old, and I didn't know how to swim. We were out in the Chesapeake Bay, and his daddy, them waves was rolling in that Chesapeake Bay, and his daddy turned that sailboat, and he started towards the shore. I said, what's your daddy doing? He said, we're going to go swimming. He was pulling in a cove, amen, and I'm telling you, that wave was rolling out there, amen, in the middle of the Chesapeake Bay. When he pulled in that cove, you could see a tadpole jump, amen. That water just as still as it could be. I won't go into all the story, but I couldn't swim, not scared to death, amen. I didn't know how to swim. But anyway, I'm just telling you, beloved, when I saw that and remembered that experience as a boy, aren't you glad we serve one that can still the waves? Amen. You might be in the cave, but you're not in there alone. Amen. He's right there with you. And so the Bible said here, but the natural man, look at verse 14, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. We need to remember that tonight as we study Bible doctrine, that these truths are not something that man came up with. These are things that God came down with. And the only way we're going to understand them is through the precious Holy Spirit of the living God. And then number four, under Webster's definition, the truths of the gospel in general, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Titus 2, verse number 1. I'll make reference to that later. Instruction, number 5, and confirmation in the truths of the gospel. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 10. Now let's get into this tonight. I've kind of broken this down in sections. The first thing I want to look at is the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I remember years ago somebody said that a Sadducee, they don't believe in the resurrection. And that's very sad, you see. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we ain't getting up, I'm going to the house. Forget it. Say amen. But thank God we're going to get up. Amen. We're either going to get up after we've been buried, or we're going to go up before we get buried. Amen. One way or the other. That's the truth of the Word of God. But listen to what the Bible teaches us here. Their doctrine was based on the traditions of men. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. If you're going to be dogmatic about something, you better have some Bible to back it up. Amen? If you're going to stand and say there's only one way to heaven, you better have some Bible to back it up. I'm glad I got plenty of Bible. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen? I thank God. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So we see their teaching is based on the traditions of men. And by the way, a lot of the problems in the world today are religious zealots that are hung up in the traditions of men. By the way, I'm going to say this. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but a lot of people will die in a dead church because of the traditions of men. They wouldn't change churches for nothing in this world. They wouldn't go where there's some life, where people worship, where the Word of God is preached. Why? Because grandma went there and her grandma went there. Amen. I'm just telling you right now, beloved, listen, I'd rather go somewhere where there's life. I'd rather go somewhere where the Word of God is being preached. Amen. And then I would just to stay in that tradition. This is what Jesus said, Matthew 15:7. He said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." This is not the doctrine we're going to be studying in this study, but I got to introduce it, amen, and let you know that there is such a thing as false doctrine. When that Jehovah's Witness shows up on your doorstep, you better believe they're not carrying Bible doctrine. They might be carrying a King James Bible the first time they come by, and they might be carrying it the second time they come by, but it ain't going to be long, honey. They're going to break out that New World Translation, amen. And they're going to try to snooker you. Amen. And listen, they don't, if you'll think about what I'm about to say, you know who they prey on? They prey on young Christians. They don't go after sinners. Amen. By the way, brother, we got new people coming to church. Next time you put that corn up there, you need to explain a little bit. Amen. Amen. I saw that up there and it reminded me of years ago. I was in Pennsylvania and, that I was with a chaplain up there, Brother Chris, and the corn was about that high. I mean, all over the place. He said, "Brother Rick, all of this corn," we was riding down the road together, he said, "all of it is for beef consumption. None of it is for human consumption." And so he sent me an email in, I guess it was August, and he sent me an email, and he said, "All of that corn that was just coming up is over our head now." And I texted him back, "Praise the Lord. I meant to say more beef, but I hit the R instead of the F." Praise the Lord, more beer. I hope they ain't thinking we're going to make beer out of that. Say amen. And then I was with Brother Napper, and this was a week or two later. Brother Napper was communicating with me through email, and I told Brother Napper, I said, "I really enjoyed, I meant to hit the K, the week with you, and I hit the D. I really enjoyed the weed with you." My wife looked at me and said, "Between the weed and the beer, you're going to be out of the ministry if you don't quit." Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. And those things, there's a little bit of dyslexia going on there. They're kind of opposite on the keyboard. Amen. But anyway, the doctrine of the Pharisees. And then in Matthew 16:12, "Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." By the way, could you imagine these people? They had absolute control of the religious situation there in Israel. And here comes Jesus. They start losing their grip. Amen. And so what happens? They start getting ill. Amen. They no longer have the influence they used to have. It'd be like they had 10 Sunday school, Brother Jack. Jesus had 10,000. Amen. Everywhere he went, the crowds were thronging him. Amen. And think about that just a moment. And then the Bible said that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. And that's why God wants to get this Bible doctrine settled in our heart, carried about with every wind of doctrine. There's plenty of wind. There's plenty of deceivers out there. And the Bible said in the end time that they're just going to be more and more deceivers. Now, we've looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's look just a moment at the teaching of Jesus, at his doctrine. The Bible said, "And it came to pass when Jesus," this is Matthew 7:28, "when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine." And did you ever close your eyes and just sit down on the shore of Galilee and just listen to him? Can you imagine as Jesus began to teach things, they'd never heard before. I'll show you some of it in a minute. The Bible said, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Let me tell you something. When a man of God gets in this pulpit, or when a lady stands in her Sunday school class, when a man stands here and teaches his Sunday school class, if you're teaching what thus saith the word of God, you don't have to apologize for it. Amen. You can teach it with authority. Jesus taught with authority, not like the scribes. And then in Mark chapter 1 and verse number 27, the Bible said they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. I believe it would have been something. That 3.5 years that Jesus was ministering on the earth, I believe it would have been something every day. You say, Pastor, you can't say every day. We've got a record. Yeah, let me tell you what the record says. Many other things did Jesus. The which, I suppose, if they were all written, the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written. Amen. God give us enough that we can believe. Say amen. As a matter of fact, John said, I've written these things that you might believe. Amen. And that believing you might have life through his name. So there's the doctrine of Jesus in Matthew chapter number 22 and verse 33. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Let me ask you something. When's the last time God taught you something from this book and you went, wow? Should it not be that way? Oh, you say, Pastor, I already know it all. That's your problem. Amen. We don't know it all. Thank God Almighty. Amen. Boy, preaching would be pretty boring if God didn't give us something. Say amen. You might say, what's boring when you preach anyway? That's your problem. Say amen. I'm loving it. Amen. As a preacher told me a long time ago, he said, if you don't enjoy your own preaching, he said, don't expect nobody else to. Amen. I like it. I like it. The Bible said there, the multitude, when they heard it, they were astonished at his doctrine. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 5. I'm going to show you something tonight. This is what God put in my heart, and oh, man, it's a blessing. Matthew chapter number 5, you know your Bible, you know where we're headed. We're headed to those beautiful attitudes, the Beatitudes, amen. And I heard somebody say something one time. They said, that's just not a good Christian altitude. Amen. Amen. Listen to this about the teaching of Jesus. We're going to start in Matthew chapter number 5. And I'm going to key in on something. Verse number 22. The Bible said here, well, I need to back up for just a moment. You have heard, watch this now, verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. Here's these commandments of men. Here's the teachings of men, the doctrine of men. You have heard that it's been said of them, thou shalt not kill. And not only that, they're going back to that Old Testament. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Look at verse 22. But I say unto you, I want you to key in on that phrase. But I say unto you, Jesus has a doctrine. Are you listening to me? He's not going to do away with the law, but he's going to fulfill it. And by the way, I'd much rather keep Moses' law than I would Jesus's. Say amen. I'm going to show you in a minute. But I say unto you, whosoever's angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the othermost farthing. Ye have heard. This is what Jesus, he says this over and over. Ye have heard, but I say unto you. Ye have heard, but I say unto you. Ye have heard, but I say unto you. Watch what he said. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her committeth adultery already in his heart. That leaves a lot of men in a lot of trouble. Say amen. Thank God for grace. I said thank God for grace. Amen. Watch what the Bible said. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of the members should perish, not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, here it goes again, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. By the way, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you. Listen to me. There are preachers that will not marry anybody that's been divorced. That's their stand. I respect that. But I'm going to tell you, I have a position that's a little bit different than that. We're going to read the Bible right here. This is what I believe. I believe if there are scriptural grounds for divorce, then there's scriptural grounds for remarriage. I'm telling you, I've studied it. I've looked at Corinthians. I'm just telling you where I stand. You don't have to agree with that, but that's where I stand. Amen. Just because a person is divorced on scriptural grounds does not mean that God hands that individual the gift to live alone the rest of their life. And that's a gift from God. He said it's better to marry than to burn. I respect what some believe there. And some, it don't matter. Amen. It don't matter. They'll marry anybody to anybody. Amen. But I say unto you, go back. Verse 32. Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city, oh, here we go, of the great King. We were talking about that a while ago in the prayer room, wasn't we? Amen. I told him a while ago, I said we could do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. One nation under the King. Glory to God. Amen. I'm not changing the pledge, but we got a King. Amen. Whether we like it or not. Amen. King Jesus, he's still sitting on the throne. Amen. Neither by earth. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head. Thou canst not make one hair white or black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh in. Now here goes again. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, is anybody getting this? Is anybody, this is the doctrine of our Lord and our Savior. Over and over, he says, but I say unto you. Let me tell you something right now. We'd be wise to sit up straight and pay attention to what he's saying. Amen. The doctrine of our Lord Jesus. He said, you've heard it been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at thy law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. I'm telling you, buddy, Moses' law was a picnic compared to this. Say amen. You know what? The people in Moses' day didn't have something that you and I have. You say, Pastor, what didn't they have? They didn't have the Holy Ghost dwelling in them. Another thing they didn't have, Brother Jack, was the whole canon of Scripture. Amen. Let me say this to you. We're without excuse. We can do what he says to us. We can live that way. God didn't give us something, beloved, that we can't do. We can do that. Amen. For the glory of God. Years ago, I have some other scripture, but I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. I'm going to skip and go on to the next thing. Years ago, I was in Mexico on a missions trip. And I'll go ahead and say his name. He's in heaven tonight. Maybe some of y'all know him, Brother Dwight DeBoard. He had a bad accident. He fell off his house. His head took the whole blow on the sidewalk. He only fell about 8 feet. And when I stand flat-footed and reach right there, that's all he did. I believe he passed out. Because he was preparing, it was hot that morning, and he was preparing to take a test the next day. I believe he blacked out, or some of the old timers said the blind staggers, because he didn't have a scratch on him. He just went right off, right on his head. that night about midnight, he went out into eternity. But anyway, this man, Brother Dwight, there were seven of us all together, and we were on a missions trip in Mexico. I'm standing in a grocery store, Brother Michael, and I'm talking to a man. I'll give you 10,000 guesses what I was talking to him about. I was talking to him about Jesus. And old Dwight walked up to me and he said to that man, he said, "You can't believe a word he said." I said, "Brother Dwight, I'm trying to point this man to Jesus." He said, "You better believe every word he says." Amen. It was just funny, you know, "You can't believe a word he says." I said, "I'm trying to point this man to Jesus." He said, "You better believe every word he says." Amen. Oh, beloved, when it comes to Jesus, you better believe every word he said. Amen. Every word he said. Well, then we got the definition, and we got the Pharisees' doctrine. We got the teachings of Jesus, our Lord's doctrine. And then we got something called the Apostles' doctrine. I want you to go with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 2. This is as far as we're going to get tonight. Man, I'd like to get on down, but listen, we'd be here at 8 o'clock and y'all ain't for that. As an old preacher said years ago, he said, "You need to remember, the mind cannot comprehend any more than the seat can endure." Amen. Amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 tonight. We were in the book of Acts this morning. I really had this on my heart to say this morning. I think it's worthy of repeating. I heard a preacher say it years ago. He said, there's three books in the Bible that we ought to frequent. He said, the book of Psalms, it'll keep your heart sweet. He said, the book of Proverbs will give you wisdom. And he said, the book of Acts. He said, the book of Acts will keep you reminded of what the New Testament church is supposed to be. Boy, I like that, don't you? Now, let's look here. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible said here, in verse 41, let me back up and read it. "And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Boy, you know what? I don't know what I'd do if 3,000 people got saved at one time. I'm having a fit over one here and one there. Say amen. I thank God for everybody that gets saved. And the Bible said here, "And they continued steadfastly." Brother Chris, that sounds to me like they were serious about it. What did they continue in? The apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The Word of God said here, "And in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common." I'll give you three things tonight about the apostles' doctrine that they emphasized in their teaching and in their preaching. Number one, they emphasize that Jesus is the Christ. You say, "Well, Pastor, that is so elementary." You'd be surprised how many people in Bloomingdale need elementary. Yeah. Amen. That Jesus is Lord. I was riding up, I used to work for a fellow in Marion, Virginia, and he built a shop up in Atkins. And you can see it from the interstate if you've been up that way. But he's got a great old big cross on the side of his shop, and it says, "Jesus is Lord." A lot of people don't know what that means. What that means is, he's deity. He's the Son of the living God. He's not less than God. He's as much God as God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. A lot of people don't understand that, but the apostles, that's why they crucified Jesus. They said, "You've blasphemed because you claim to be the Son of God." He wasn't blaspheming. He was giving them Bible doctrine because he was the Son of God. Look at Acts chapter 3, and let's read verse number 13 through verse number 18. Some of this I printed out in my notes, and some of it I just made a reference to it, so we'll turn there. Acts chapter 3, verse number 13 through verse number 18. The Bible said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. The apostles' doctrine, beloved, was just simply Jesus is the Christ. Verse 16, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, Peter, Stephen, others in the book of Acts, they had a way of taking Paul, taking him back to that Old Testament. This is something you need to learn when you're talking to people about their soul. Listen a little bit. You say, well, I need to start in Romans. Might not. Might need to start in Genesis. If you'll listen a little bit, you see what I mean? You can begin with them, not where you want them to be, but where they are. Amen? Where they are. I remember a lady told me one time, she said, I said, do you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? She said, I believe I would. And I said, well, tell me what things you might, what makes you, a lot of people just quit right there. And they said, well, she's saved. I said, tell me what thinks you, what makes you think you might go to heaven or that you would go to heaven if you died today? She said, well, my husband and I are good people. That's contrary to the Word of God. So the Bible said there's none righteous. No, not one. Amen. And then she said, and we're good neighbors. And we pay our bills. And we're good citizens. Does anybody see the red flag going up? Honey, I just listened. And she went on and on and on. And I just listened. And I said, I want to ask you a question. This lady's name was Carol. I said, Carol, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. I said, if all of that would take you to heaven, why did Jesus die? And I'm telling you, Brother Dale, the Holy Ghost moved in there. And I went over there and quoted some scripture or showed her some scripture there. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy have he saved us. And she looked just like a youngin' that you told to stay out of the cake, and you come around the corner and they had chocolate icing from ear to ear. Amen. She was caught. You say, preacher, did you catch her? No, the blessed Holy Ghost caught her. And she understood this doctrine of salvation, that it's not by works of righteousness. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So these people in the book of Acts, when they're preaching, they start with these people, you remember, to the Jew first and also the Greek. You remember in the book of Acts, the Gentiles don't come along, Brother Junior, till Acts chapter number 10 with Cornelius. All these people getting saved early in the book of Acts are Jews. God said to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so they started with them where they were. Then the other part of their doctrine, there's two more things, and I'm going to close out for tonight. Jesus is the Christ, that's the first thing. But then the second thing in their presentation was this. He got up. Amen. He rose from the dead. You say, that's so elementary. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you really get to believe in that, and believe in you're going to face him one day after a while, it changes the way you think about things. Amen. He did get up. He's got power over death, hell, and the grave. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 22 real quickly. Acts chapter 1, verse 22. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, have you taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I love verse 24, whom God raised up. That was their doctrine, amen. Yes, he died, but thank God he didn't stay dead. He got up. I used to tell him in prison. Listen, I know I talk a lot about that, but how you spend 10 years of your life doing something and not talk about it a little bit every once in a while. But you couldn't go in there and preach against Mormonism and preach against Hinduism and preach against all the isms, amen, Islam. You couldn't preach against that. You couldn't go in there. But I tell you what I did. I said, boys, y'all can do whatever you want to. I'm just a country boy from Tennessee. But I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. In other words, if you can find his bones, you ain't got no business putting your trust and your faith in him. Amen. If he couldn't get up, how in the world is he going to help us? But he did get up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Look at chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible said here, chapter 2, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible. It was not possible. That grave couldn't hold him. God had already determined before the foundation of the world, he's going to die. That's why Jesus could stand there and say, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. You say, I thought God raised him up. He did. I thought Jesus said, I'll raise it up again. He did. Are y'all getting it yet? Say amen. One in the same. Amen. One in the same. Look at verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore, or whereof, we are all witnesses. Remember I talked this morning about that 40 days? Honey, I tell you what, it must have been something. I mean, that must have been something to walk with Jesus 40 days after he got up out of the grave. Amen. So their doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus rose from the dead. And then the last thing, that salvation was by faith in his name. I quoted it a while ago, neither is there salvation in any other, Acts 4:12. There's none other name under heaven. How many would agree with me tonight? You don't have to, but if it's true in your life, before you ever got saved, Brother David, did you know there was something about his name? Boy, I did too. I'm going to tell you something else. I knew there was something about Sunday morning. I might be mowing grass. I might be working on the truck. I might be fishing. I don't know what I might be doing. I might be trying to get over the night before. But I'm just telling you, even in those days, Sunday morning, I knew there was something about Sunday morning. I knew there was something about his name. Amen. Thank God for the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible said in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 3 and verse number 16, and I'm done tonight. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. That's that lame man there in the temple, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Let me give you this tonight. This is not a verse of scripture, something I read today. How many's ever heard of A.W. Tozer? He is something. I mean, he's deep. This is what he said. Listen, God, this struck my heart, a chord in my heart. He said, we have gotten accustomed to the blurred puffs of gray fog that pass for doctrine in churches and expect nothing better. From some previously impeachable sources are now coming vague statements consisting of a milky admixture of scripture, science, and human sentiment that is true to none of its ingredients, but each one works to cancel the other out. Little by little, Christians these days are being brainwashed. One evidence is that increasing numbers of them are becoming ashamed to be found unequivocally on the side of the truth. You think about that. Think about that. They're ashamed to be identified unequivocally with the truth. And then this is what he said. They say they believe, but their beliefs have been so diluted as to be impossible of clear definition. Listen to me. I never want to be a preacher that could stand here for 30 minutes. Okay, Sawyer. 40 minutes. I never want to be a preacher that could stand here for 40 minutes and somebody go out the door and say, what'd he say? You know what my dad said, Brother Scott? He said, plain English, easily understood. Aren't you glad we serve a God that didn't beat around the bushes when he needed to say something? When he needed to call sin, sin, he called sin, sin. And he spends more time in the Gospels warning of a place called hell than he does talking about a place called heaven. That's my Savior tonight. Listen what A.W. Tozer said. He said, they say they believe, but their beliefs have been so diluted as to be impossible of clear definition. Moral power has always accompanied definite beliefs. Great saints, listen to this, have always been dogmatic. We need a return to a gentle dogmatism that smiles while it stands stubborn and firm on the Word of God that lives and abides forever. You know how Jude said it, Brother John? We need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It ain't time to get out the water jug and water it down. It's time to get out the Word of God. Amen. And see what thus saith the Word of God. How many's glad you come tonight? If you're not saved, hang around. Amen. There might be some corn somewhere scattered, Brother Junior. Boy, I'll tell you what, as long as I live and got a memory, Brother Junior, I'll never forget what you told me that night. We dismissed church and people just standing around talking. He said, Preacher, he said, the chickens will gather where the corn's been scattered. Hey, Brother Junior, we just hope a game warden don't see it. I was going to say something, but I ain't going to say that, amen. I ain't going to throw my dear brother under the bus. He ain't here tonight, amen. God bless you tonight. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed in prayer.